Yes, that's a song from World War II times. It's one that Ann Charney said that she heard as a child and learned to sing. And we'll probably play that again, perhaps at the end of the show. We'll see. It's called Give Me 5 Minutes. For speaking of 5 minutes, we got Tony Lea of UNIFOR, a UNIFOR veteran and the author of a great book, The Truth About the 37 Oshawa GM Strike Baraka Books. Tony Lea, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Phil.
Buzz Hargrove has passed, and he was a major figure on in the labor scene of Canada. And my memory was that at the time of his leadership, media tended to regard him as the Canadian labor leader. There's, I suppose, political reasons for that. The Toronto Star was particularly enamored of him. So what should we remember about Buzz Hargrove?
Well, it's, of course, when somebody passes away, people tend to say nice things about him. But an important role in changing the direction of the Canadian Auto Workers Union. And so he has a record that should not be ignored. And we should look back and understand what policies he followed and what the results of that were. And I mm-hmm. would highlight maybe 4 or 5 points. Politically, he moved the union from being a supporter of DP to being in the embrace of the Liberal Party. He moved the union towards partnership with corporations and corporate leaders like Jerry Schwartz of Onex.
Well, let me stop you there. I bet labor people don't tend to associate Mr. Schwartz, who was quite a wealthy individual, ran important businesses, with the labor leader. What's that connection?
The first connection was in 2000 when Schwartz wanted to take over Air Canada and merge it with Canadian Airlines. And Buzz Hargrove publicly supported his effort. He said that would be a good idea. The workers at Air Canada were absolutely furious with Buzz at the time.
They did not like the idea.
They were furious. It was going to, Canadian Airlines was going to take over Air Canada with Jerry Schwartz's financial support, and it was going to damage the seniority rights of the workers at Air Canada. It fell apart. It never actually happened. But that was his first connection that I know of with Schwartz. A few years later, he went on a sponsored trip to Israel with Jerry Schwartz and his partner, Heather Reisman. And they conducted many of those trips, and the goal was to convince people to support Israel and Israel's policies. And it certainly had that effect on Buzz. It wasn't public in most circles that he had even been on this trip, although the Jerusalem Post noticed it and wrote about it. But he wasn't back in Canada a month before he was attacking Sid Ryan because QP had passed, QP Ontario had passed a resolution calling for a boycott of Israeli goods and support for BDS. And Buzz attacked him for that. And then a couple of months later, at the CAW convention, which was in Vancouver that year, there was a very terrible resolution on the situation in the Middle East, which put attacked representatives of the Palestinians who were trying to resist the Israeli onslaught. When he was challenged on it, Buzz at the convention went into a rant about he supported the separation wall and Hamas were only terrorists. And it was really a shocking development. But he didn't tell people, at the delegates of the convention at the time, that he was just back from a trip to Israel with Jerry Schwartz and Reisman.
He did not mention it.
Didn't mention it, no.
By the way, we live in a world where neither did the mass media, did it?
No, no. Like I said, the only place that
This is a prominent union leader of Canada. You would think they would have said, oh, here's an interesting story to put in the wastebasket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he also has known, my memory was, he was a champion of a thing called strategic voting.
Yes, and that was the, we called it strategic voting, but really the effect of it was to line up the union behind the Liberal Party. And people remember in 2005 that he had Paul Martin address a meeting of the CAW, and he put a jacket on him, to a CAW jacket.
Paul Martin?
On Paul Martin, yes.
Must have made Martin very proud.
Yeah, he was smiling pretty broadly at that. That was the impact of strategic voting. It was really to move the union politically to support the Liberals and to support Liberal foreign policy, the foreign policy of the ruling class, really, and it involved, of course, support for Israel and a lot of other things, including Hargrove invited Romeo Dallaire to address the CAW meetings.
Wow. Well, I think we're talking. Here's a question. He was saying strategic voting. NDP supporters, but also people in the labor movement, said, no, you're actually, this is just a kind of clandestine support for, or a game support for the Liberal Party. Is there any evidence of that?
Yeah, sure. He went out and campaigned for Liberal candidates in a number of elections, and openly called for people to vote Liberal. In some cases, it even led to the defeat of NDP candidates because of this appeal of the Liberals. He claimed the Liberals were the only ones who could defeat the Conservatives.
Hmm.
Very
quickly, he did have his good moment. He supported you once.
One that really sticks in my mind is in 96 when GM was trying to break our strike and wanted to take dyes out of a plant in Oshawa. And I advocated that that the only effective response by us would be to occupy the plant. And I talked to a number of people about that and was getting support. And Buzz agreed and supported our action to break in and take over the plant, which made a major difference in that bargaining. We got back down that time.
That's a remarkable. These are great memories that people, we're not going to have a healthy labor movement unless we have honest and frank assessments of policies, practices, decisions, and review them without any prejudice towards individuals. But you have to talk about what you just talked about. Tony, your book is The Truth about the 37 Oshawa GM strike. And you're getting a lot of interest and support for that book, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been doing a number of book talks. The most recent one was at the retirees meeting for Local 1285, which represents the former Chrysler workers now in Stellantis in Brampton. And there was 75 or 80 retirees there. I went through some of the events from 1937. And, of course, retirees, more than anybody, understand the importance of remembering and learning from our history. So it was a very good session. And
to do that. I think they're going to appreciate your remarks today. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thanks, Phil.
Tony Leo, Unifor veteran and author of a great book. It's published by Baraka. Go to Baraka Books for that. We're going to take a musical break. We will be back to speak to Ann Charney, author of Dobrid.